I've done everything from Olympics to MasterCard and Coca-Cola World Cup soccer to presidential inaugurals. I can barely get up out of bed. My father just died. I do nothing normal. They have artifacts that are 50 years before Christ. I did the first diversity event ever. If you can't be the best of the best, don't do it. This is one of the places that men respect women more than any place I've been in the world. So I think what we have to do is stop limiting ourselves.
Right. We ready to roll?
Yeah. I'm always ready to rock, ready to roll.
I tell you what, that outfit is absolutely outrageous. In a good way. That's probably the best dressed guest I've had on so far.
I design all my kimonos for myself and my mink coats and my special outfit. I get bored. When you go in, I'm not a label kind of person, even though I own a lot of labels, but I hate it when people walk in the room and everything is matchy-matchy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think of this?
Oh, you're bad.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're bad. You know who Steve Wynn is?
No.
Steve Wynn is building the only casino in,
Oh, the Wynn Resorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A zillion years ago, I worked for Steve for a short period because he wanted to open a casino in Atlantic City called the Golden Nugget. And Thurston Gault was his head of human resources.
Thurston Gault.
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 Yes. G-A-U-L-T. Mm. And so Thurston.
Great name, isn't it?
Yes. I love it. Such a classic name. Played tennis with my brother. And I was on hiatus. I just took a year off because my father had passed. So I was deeply depressed and deep mourning, staying with my brother. Thurston came back from tennis one Sunday with my brother and said, we have a problem. The casino's not going to open. We have to do a 40-hour business communication course, and we have to hire teachers for every course. So that means we need 40 teachers or 20 teachers who can teach 2-hour courses or whatever. And he said, Marilyn, that's your area of expertise. Will you do it for me? And I said, I am so depressed. I can barely get up out of bed. My father just died. So he said, come on. We have to do it because they're not going to let Mr. Wynn open his casino if we can't do that. It was a part of the casino control license. Mm-hmm. So he talked me into it. I went to Atlantic City. I had 1 week to put this all together. And I did. And I was very proud of it. And Mr. Wynn asked to meet me. I was just working for him. And I went to his office. And when I opened that door and I saw him, I said, you're a good looking white boy. And he fell out laughing. He said, you're a pretty white black girl. And I fell out laughing. And it was like, this was a long time ago when he opened the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City. And I've never forgotten that. And he is such a class act. Mm. And Dubai will be, the UAE will be proud to have him and any facility. You know, he created the luxury of Las Vegas. You know, he did Borgata. He did the Mirage. You know, all those were his. And he sold them. And he kept elevating his game. And then it was the Encore and the Wynn. And now this, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah, well, I think that's going to be happening in Dubai very soon.
Yes.
They haven't given...
Rock Akama? Mm-hmm. That's where it's happening. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Rock
Akama. Where we had the Global Citizen Forum.
Oh, okay.
It's about an hour from here.
Well, I don't know exactly where they're going to do it.
I know.
In Ras Al Khaimah.
Yeah, Ras Al Khaimah.
Yeah, Ras Al Khaimah. That is going to be the first casino to open in the UAE, but that's in a different emirate, so it's not in Dubai. But
it's not in Dubai.
Right next to Burj Al Arab, they're building a new man-made island called The Island,
yes.
And they're going to put a load of
casino Aria
brands.
There, Bellagio,
yeah.
And one other. How do I know all this? Okay,
you seem to know everything. So you know the answer to when they're going to let gambling happen here.
I am on a need-to-know basis. I tell people what they need to know.
Well, I need to know this.
No. No, I've been very fortunate to hang with some really powerful people who share a lot with me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think I'm like a vault.
Whenever big things are happening in Dubai, It's usually kept on the down low
until it happens.
Yeah.
And that's the way you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to talk about it, and you can check your ego at the door. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
But do it so that it's more unique, more exemplary, more innovative, more creative, more visionary than any other thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's Dubai.
That's very true.
Yeah.
How has your trip been so far? You've been here 2 weeks?
I've been here 2 weeks. As you can see, I haven't gotten any rest. Literally, my day sometimes starts at 9 a.m. breakfast meeting and ends at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I've literally been going 24/7. And I'll meet someone who knows someone who says, oh, you do that. My friend needs you. You know, there's so many opportunities in Dubai.
Mm.
And my forte is economic development, strategic marketing, tourism, anything to do with revenue generation and public relations and visibility of brands, individuals, enterprises, et cetera. So I have been so fortunate in Dubai to have such a cross-section of people to reach out and want to have very serious meetings with me. I also own a private equity firm. And we have real estate investments as well as select entertainment properties, and also an American credit facility that can that we partner with that loans up to $25 million. So, I've been very fortunate to I call it snowballing effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friend that you know, Saba, all of them say to me, "How do you know these people?" I'll be sitting down, and they know I know no one, and 10 people will stop to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've said something to him, or we've run into each other in the elevator, we've had a conversation. You know, it's just amazing to me.
I feel like you've done it the old school way, like without the need of having that presence on social media. Like you've...
Well, I'm going to be very honest. Excuse me. Social media is something that everyone needs. AI is the way of the future. I did it the old-fashioned way
mm-hmm.
because that's what I was taught. So I built relationships from the time I was 11 years old doing my father's taxes. My father had a second-grade education, mm-hmm. and my mother was a cook at an elementary school. But my father also was a janitor at Springs Cotton Mill, and he also ran four other businesses, a funeral home business, a transportation business, a building business where you like built people's houses or rooms onto them, et cetera, and then a jack of all trades. So, and he had five kids. He put my brother through law school, this one through graduate school, more through, you know, he always wanted us to get a great education.
Mm-hmm.
But the basis of my intellect came from my father and mother, because my father and mother, especially my father, had a PhD in life. So the relationships that I build are a byproduct of the personality that my mother instilled in me and the character traits my father instilled in me. People know if you're genuine.
Yeah.
You know, they know, and they really gravitate toward people that they feel are genuine, that will help them and have their best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, with me, contagious enthusiasm, because I'm happy for you.
I get that.
I'm happy for your website. I'll do anything to help anyone. And that all comes back to me tenfold. I don't even look for business. Mm. I never have. You know, from the time I was telling you about Ted Turner.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the cameras were on when I told you that. But one of the huge boosts to my career was Ted Turner, the mouth of the South, Dick Parsons, the former chairman of Time Warner. And there, it was Ted Turner, Dick Parsons, and Colin Powell, all at the Trumpet Awards, which was an award ceremony that was kind of like very smaller to what I'm doing. I want to introduce to Dubai. But you know, Ted Turner hired me for one event and then another event and another event. But what he said to the group at that first event, if you want it done well, then you need to call Marilyn. And my career just took off.
And you were in charge of organizing the event.
I was planned, coordinated, and executed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got so good at doing that and adding a visionary, innovative touch to everything. I do nothing normal. Nothing. You will not attend. I don't do events. I do event experiences, and I do epic event experiences. I've done everything from Olympics to MasterCard and Coca-Cola World Cup soccer to presidential inaugurals for Clinton or the environmental inaugural for Gore or the ambassador inaugural for Obama or the presidential appointees and black appointees for Bush for the Republicans. So I look at the creativity of an event as an extension into the future of the impact of that cause and that core message that the event creator wants to send.
What's the secret to a successful event?
Personal touch.
Personal
details.
Touch.
I did an event in Africa called Musée National. I did it in Cameroon, and everyone told me not to do it.
Dangerous.
Dangerous. They don't have the infrastructure. The people won't be cooperative, and it will flop. Their Minister of Culture and Art flew to New York to meet with me to ask me to do it because of my reputation. And I said, well, let me come and see. And I flew over. If you have not seen their museum, you know how the White House looks? It's 10 times the size of the White House.
The museum.
The museum in Cameroon. And they had just renovated it to the tune of just you know, the paint and, you know, $10 million. Not much, chump change. But in the museum, they have artifacts that are 50 years before Christ. They have artifacts that are the original chains of slavery. They have artifacts that you can only imagine. And I'm like, I'm blown away. And so they didn't have a facility that I thought was of the caliber that it needed to be in order to host and maintain the caliber of people flying in for Musée National, for the renaissance of this museum. So what I did is I created a ballroom. I sent people to the rainforest for bamboo, and we made a floor. I ordered crystal chandeliers from China. I hired the locals to recreate animals of the rainforest that were oversized as decoration. I hired the local Indian population who had a monopoly on marble and the cement business to create marble backlit, 17 of them, bars that were that I designed. And I can't draw. I would just like draw like and I would say, yeah, and I wanted to have an arch here and et cetera. And then I hired the local architect to create the stage that I envisioned and the local florist to show me a selection of the most exotic flowers there. And we created every table had a different floral arrangement that was a symbol of Cameroon in Africa. And then I said, how many indigenous people do you have? How many tribes do you have? How many languages do you have? And they were like, oh, my God. It's just indefinite, you know? And I said, okay, how long is the driveway up to the museum? And it's a mile and a quarter long. So I took all those indigenous people in their original uniforms with their original instruments, and I lined the highway.
God damn.
And then I took the sit that everyone loves. It's like a jasmine, cashmere. It's a scent of the region. And I had them do the scent from the driveway up to the museum and inside. And then outside the museum was the ballroom that I created. And then I said, okay, how are we going to integrate this with young people? MTV Awards. MTV has a MTV Africa Awards. So I had MTV and the government of Dubai, President Biya, gave me an 18-wheeler that rolled out and folded out. And I had all the winners of the MTV Africa Awards perform over there for kids. And then I put another stage over here. I flew in Dionne Warwick. And she sang What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love, and a couple of major songs. That's what Friends are for, because it was a global event. And then I also flew in the premier ballerinas from New York's ballet, And I commissioned them to do two dances for the president. I also flew in the production producer. His name is Jerry Wonder, wife Clef's cousin and best friend for the Fugees. And he produced a whole Fuji segment.
Are you working with an unlimited budget?
No. I'm going to tell you what my budget was. And it started out, and she said, oh, the budget's going to be $300,000. I said, what am I going to do for that? I need $500,000. I really need $2 million. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, they had very small budget, and they had never done anything like this before. Mm-hmm. So I did all of this for $510,000.
Wow.
Yes. But I also brought
11... Your contact list, though, helped, though, massively.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't afford their regular prices.
People can't
I called in some favors. But I also brought in the local
vibe
with a global approach. Mm-hmm. And we had over 161 offshore media attend. We had a billion hits, unheard of, unprecedented. So, and the tour of the museum was spectacular. And also in Africa, you know, they don't have a lot of running water mm-hmm. in their villages and in their homes. But the people are so intelligent and they're so kind and they're so nice. So I trained 160 people in different segments to handle the whole event. I bought white tuxedos for, I think it was 18, I'm trying to remember, 18 young men and trained them how to open the door. Once the car went through the circle, open the door, give their hand, help the lady out, and to say welcome to Musée National. That's all they could say. They spoke French, but they got it across. You know, I trained ladies and gentlemen to go on tours. I gave each, I installed showers so they wouldn't have to worry. I gave each of them personal hygiene kits. There was not one detail left.
So how often are you doing something like this?
That was the pinnacle of my career. I've done events.
You did that mic drop. You're like, I'm done. I don't need to do any more of this.
No, I did that because they said it couldn't be done. Mm. And I love people. And I love genuine, wonderful, kind people. And these people just had not had the opportunity to showcase their home. Mm. You know, Cameroon was their home. And so I appreciate the president and the minister giving me that opportunity.
Fred, can you do my birthday party next year, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I did weddings for premieres. Mm-hmm. I did the foundation rooms for the House of Blues. Mm-hmm. I did the Children's Festival for the Olympics. I did the interfaith service for the Olympics. I did the opening ceremony, things like that. I did the first diversity event ever in the history of Festival de Cannes.
When was that? Which year?
I think I'm guessing at the year now. I think it was more 2018 because we went into COVID in 2020. Mm-hmm. So 2018.
What is a diversity event? What is that?
Let me tell you what I did. There's only one. He is the first black billionaire in America. Now take away the word black. He is the first person in the history of Wall Street to do a $1 billion deal for Wall Street. Now, put him back in. He opened the first black law firm on Wall Street. Everybody knows Wall Street is the hub of New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, everything. Mm-hmm. Money, it's Wall Street, okay? Then, I'm sorry, in addition to that, in the 158-year history of Harvard, and they have never done it since and will never do it again, they pursued him to come to Harvard. He never applied. Also, he flipped it to 48 companies in 31 countries. Unprecedented. His first deal, the ROI on it, the return on investment was 90%. So we had a documentary done who did the documentary, the billionaires of the world contributed to his documentary. Robert F. Smith, etc., all on PBS. I took that documentary with his widow, who's still living, and we went to Festival de Cannes. And I purposely did not enter it into competition because it has no competition.
Mm.
It deserved to be shown all by itself. I planned, coordinated, executed, and raised every dime, $1 million.
What was it called?
The event?
No, the film.
Oh, Reginald F. Lewis.
Reginald F. Lewis.
The Making of a $1 Billion Empire, PBS. But I didn't want it to compete. So I bought out La Majestic Barrier Beach. I bought the beach for an evening. Me. I brought with me, I wanted it to be Nollywood, Hollywood, and Bollywood. So I brought with me African attire for all the waiters and waitresses to wear, including earrings and bracelets. I personal touch. Then Nollywood, the Indian population, the populace, had just lost someone very, very dear to them. Sri Devi Kapoor. And so I sent a message to Boney Kapoor, her husband, that I wanted to honor her. She is like the Meryl Streep of Hollywood. She is to India. She is a superstar, and she had just passed away. And so I honored her. So all the Indian producers came. I invited all the bankers from Europe because they gave RFL his start. I invited the African producers. So we had Nollywood, Hollywood, and Bollywood. And then I went to the president of Cannes, and I said, I don't need anything from you. I have created this event. I would just like for you to attend. And he said, oh, Marilyn, my schedule. And I said, okay, just come through for 5 minutes. He came through and stayed 3 hours. It was that incredible. And then I went next door, and Solo was being launched. Steven Spielberg's new, what do you call that? It's a science fiction Solo, Star Trek. It's one of the segments. And they had this guy on the beach that was part of Solo. So I said, well, what time is he performing? And they told me. So I timed my opening to talk about bringing people from the past into the future with his performance. And I had people look to the sky, and across the sky comes Super Peck. The guy is flying across the sky, and they think it's part of my event. I paid not one penny. It's part of Mr. Spielberg's event, who I adore, because he did Color Purple. And, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought it was one of the most incredible events ever, and it was the first and only diverse event for a Festival de Cannes. So I'm very proud of that.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing.
When did you get into doing events? Like when you went to study, you said you got more than one degree. Is that correct?
A few.
You got a few, as you do.
Degrees are degrees. You know, it's what you do with degrees, you know?
But have they helped you?
They opened some doors. Harvard Business Communications and Marketing, and USC undergrad psychology, graduate education, along with, you know, marketing and journalism, stuff like that. But a degree is to give you your foundation. What you do with that degree gives you your life.
Yeah.
It's a big difference. And there are a lot of educated fools out here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why I say my father was the most brilliant man I've ever known, because he had a PhD in life.
Well, after you got your degrees, did you go straight into, what was the first thing you started doing?
My passion, teaching.
Oh, so you were a teacher?
At a private school. And that's how I flipped it into branding and into economic development and into events and tourism, because I was at a private school. All of the members of the school were very high net worth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a certified psychologist. So I was counseling their kids, all ages, and I got to know the families. And they asked me, since you're counseling little Johnny, He has a birthday party coming up. He loves you, Miss Crawford. Can you do his birthday party? And I was like, sure, you know. So that's how it started. I started doing Little Johnny's birthday party. And then they said, oh, you did such a wonderful job on that. I've been looking for someone to do our anniversary event. So then I started doing the parents' anniversary. Then they said, oh, my husband just purchased 8 more car dealerships. Can you do the opening? And by the way, can you get some press there? So it was all organic.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got bigger and it got global and it got worldly. And, you know, FedEx came to me and Coca-Cola came to me and Matthew Knowles came to me for Beyonce and, you know, Serena Williams.
How are these huge brands finding you? Is it just
word of mouth?
Word of mouth.
Someone would tell someone that they needed to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Turks and Caicos came to me through Niles Rogers, who came to me through Larry King, who came to me through someone who told Larry about me. It's just word of mouth.
So you basically just want to be so good that people talk about you and
yeah,
spread the word.
If you can't be the best of the best, don't do it. If you can't deliver, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, let me tell you about my events. You won't come to my event and get a rubber stamp or a rubber band or a ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. My top events, I give a silver bracelet. And on that bracelet is the latitude and longitude of the event. That sets the tone.
Mm. People will remember that as well. They're not going to forget about that.
It's the best of the best.
Mm.
The people that have attended my events in Hollywood, at Cipriani's in New York, et cetera, call me and say, oh, when's the next one? They don't understand how much work
mm-hmm.
and effort and collaboration and cooperation goes into that.
Talk to me about, you do quite a lot with public relations.
Yes.
With companies and I guess individuals as well.
Yes.
At which point do you recommend an individual hire someone to help them with their PR? Because I've never worked with anyone directly within PR.
Well, first of all, if you get a good PR specialist, a zillion people will say, I'm a PR specialist. Mm. I'm a PR specialist. But they don't know anyone. A good PR specialist can call up 60 Minutes.
So you need someone who has the
relationships.
Relationships.
It's not just the contact. It's the relationships. They can have a book full of contacts that you can Google.
Mm-hmm.
It's the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's and it's also you don't want to do that until you've established you have a foundation, and they have something to work with. Someone called me, and I'm not going to say who because you'll know who it is, and they wanted me to get their fiance on the cover of a fashion magazine, and I won't say which one.
GQ.
Can I do it? Yes. Will I do it? No. Mm-hmm. I would not even accept their money because their fiance hasn't even been in the covers. So how am I going? You can't just
go from nothing to front cover.
Right. You have to build to that.
Yeah.
And I don't like making promises I can't deliver. Mm-hmm. I always underpromise and overdeliver. Always. If you go on Windsor Primetime or Primetime Global, any of my businesses, that's what I do.
Real quick, guys, I just want to share with you something which I spent the end of 2023 putting together for you. You see, in life, if you are unhappy with something, you need to change it. That is one of the core philosophies that has driven me, my businesses, and my fitness over the past 10 years. In recent years, I've been asked frequently how I've managed to go from being an average personal trainer, working all day, every day in a gym in the north of England, to the position that I am in today. That is why I decided to create the Digital Playbook. This is a step-by-step blueprint for anybody who finds themselves in the same position that I did years ago, wondering to myself, how can I make money online? Can I really make a full-time income from creating content about the things that I actually like? How can I travel the world work from my laptop, and at the same time still afford to live a great lifestyle. It's essentially a playbook on how I built multi-million pound businesses off the back of creating content online. If you want to check it out, head over to thedigitalplaybook.net and you can book in a call with my team to find out more. Let's get back to the episode. What do you make of the recent, I would say, drama incident with Oprah and The Rock trying to raise charity for the Maui wildfires?
Yeah.
There was quite a lot of backlash with that.
Yeah. I really didn't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world, not just me, you, the world, she's revealed who she is.
Mm-hmm.
There are no secrets to Oprah. My God, you've seen her with makeup, without. You've seen her in her house shoes chasing her dogs. You've seen her with a father, with her mother. She's revealed, you know, everything from her, you know, the sex that happened when she was young, everything. There are no secrets. So when someone reveals that much of themselves and you know that they are genuinely doing something from their heart, then the world needs to stop sometimes and say, why do I find malice in everything? And social media, that's what's given people the license to find so much malice in everything and everyone,
mm-hmm.
even in little kids. So I think at some point, adults like you and me, responsible people that are out there in the world, and we have a world of people that are also very responsible, very intelligent, very kind-hearted. We have to return to kindness. And that's what I'm pushing one by one, a return to kindness, because we're no longer kind. In Dubai, I have to tell you, and please forgive my sniffles from the air conditioning and being over here. But in Dubai, this is one of the places that men respect women more than any place I've been in the world. And I have been all over the world. In America, which is the leader of all, men have forgotten to hold doors. I'm not saying all men. I'm saying the majority of men. And they're not teaching their young sons to hold doors, to pull out chairs, to be polite to ladies. Ladies first. That is expected. No, I take that back. It's required in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to get back to basics, basic morality, basic kindness. You know, even with the sophistication of women and the growth of women in the women's movement, you know, I'm considered a very successful global executive everywhere I go. But people have to realize you're still a woman, you're still a lady, you know, mm-hmm. and ladies have to realize if you want to be respected in whatever your genre is, in whatever your business is, then you cannot accept the trends that are out there of being desensitized to nudity, to walking out the doors showing 90% of your skin, you know, and that and making it into that's the popular thing to do. The popular thing to do is to present yourself in such a way that you're sophistication as a female is never questioned. Your class as a female is never questioned. Your intellect as a human being is never questioned. So you have to set those boundaries for yourself. A magazine doesn't do it. Social media doesn't do it. Your peers don't do it. You do it. I'm sorry, you got me a little excited.
No, but it's good stuff though. Yeah. But like, how do you fix that problem, especially with the youngsters in the West and the constant bombardment of trash?
But you don't go along to get along. So many parents nowadays want to be best friends. So many aunties and uncles want to be best friends. Be the parent first.
Mm.
Be the aunt and uncle first. Be the adult first. You don't have to agree with them on everything. Your position is to teach them and to really educate them their position is to make a decision for themselves. But you don't need to go along to get along.
Yeah.
In any case, whether it's business, whether it's personal, whether it's social, you just don't need to. And I see people climbing on board of an avalanche of negativity, climbing on board of an avalanche of nudity, climbing on board of an avalanche of profanity, climbing on board of an avalanche of really the most disgusting way to dress in the world because they don't know the meaning behind it. Someone asked me one day about the meaning behind low slung pants. Young kids.
This is where they can see like the underwear.
You can see your underwear. Yeah. Do you know the real meaning? Where that came from? The real history?
Nope.
A lot of people think it's from two places.
They're doing it because they think it's cool.
Yeah, but they're doing it because they think it's cool, but it comes from jail, from being institutionalized, from the penitentiary and not having the right size. Negativity. But originally, it came from slavery, from the master demeaning the man in front of his family and having him pull down his clothes while he did all kinds of unspeakable things to him with instruments. Now, if they knew that, if the rap song said that, would they want to wear it?
No.
And once a rapper becomes a certain stature, once he grows, once he becomes more educated in business and in global business, I doubt if you'll ever see him slinging it low.
Yeah. Well, you see the way Jay-Z dresses, Jeezy, Eminem.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello. Now, one person I haven't met that I want to meet is Jeezy.
And Jeezy.
Jeezy, I'm shouting out to you. Jay-Z definitely needs to sit down with me. I've met him before.
You know, the Spotify Wrapped, he was my number one most listened to artist. He's someone who I want to speak to. I admire him.
Jay-Z?
Yeah.
Well, then we have to get Jay-Z.
Because I feel as though he's a smart businessman.
He's very smart.
And what he raps about and talks about, I feel like it's legit. Like he's being there.
Oh, he does. He's a thinker with it. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z used to come to the Hamptons all the time, you know, Sean had his white parties and et cetera. And Russell Simmons is a personal good friend of mine, et cetera. So I literally initially met Jay-Z through Russell at a nightclub in the Hamptons. And he was a baby. I mean, Jay-Z was so young. And he probably won't even remember me. But we sat on a table together. This was moons ago before he was the Jay-Z he is today. Mm-hmm. So I definitely need to hook up and what I do and what he does, Rock Nation, we need to have a meeting nowadays.
What do you make of the whole Diddy situation?
I think it's very sad.
I mean, obviously what you do is you help people to build their brands and we are literally witnessing the downfall of his brand.
Well, actually, it's not the down. It's done.
You think it's done?
Yeah. How do you come back from this?
Yeah.
And it's so sad because I know his mother. I know Janice. I know him. I've honored him before. Mm. He received the top award from the first black billionaire, you know? And he did great things. And he made great music. You know, and I don't know if it's true or false, but the allegations and the quick settlement lead people to think whatever they want to think.
With Cassie. Yeah. It's so wild. I can't, like, you can at one point be on top of the world, seemingly no problems, all the money in the world, and then next day, everything can start going downhill.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, what's done in the dark comes to light. And also, when you're in that position, many people will approach you with many things. And because, and I'm not speaking about Diddy, I'm speaking in general. Mm-hmm. When you're in a position like that where money is no object, Access is no object. You've done everything around the world. So in that position, some people are looking for their next high. Mm. So you never know what the next high is. And unfortunately, you have to be very careful when you climb that ladder, because someone's always standing ready to take you down.
Yeah.
Always.
And I think especially in today's world with social media.
Yeah. Well, it's so much easier with social media.
The truth comes out eventually.
But it's so much easier with social media because one post goes around the world. Yeah. And how many? I think it's 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. One post.
I don't even follow all of that stuff or keep up to date with it, but I'm getting bombarded with that stuff. Even on my Facebook feed, I'm like, I'm not asking to see this, but it's showing it to me.
Well, I feel very sad and very bad for that situation, because so many men of color who really worked their derriere off to get to that level have been taken down for so many reasons other than the business. Mm-hmm. And if it's true, the consequences are the consequences. That's all I can say.
What do you make of the Jada Will Smith situation? And
funny you should ask about that.
Because once again, I was getting bombarded with... In fact, I was getting sick of seeing her face because she was just popping up everywhere.
Okay, I've written on my post. I've had my staff, my team, my network write on their post. And it was one simple word to Jada. Stop.
Yes.
We're not interested. It's too much information. And no matter what he says, it emasculates a black man. Mm-hmm. It emasculates a powerful man. It emasculates a kind man. So I just think that there's too much sharing. And I don't understand why everyone feels the need to put everything on social media. Look, I had a pickle today. I'm going to take a picture. Who cares? You know, if you're a foodie and if that's, you know, your area of business, then fine. But I think especially with the younger generation, they have to be more discreet about what they choose to post.
Yeah.
Because it will never, ever go away. You know, and if you're in a personal relationship, let me talk to the women. One second. If you're in a personal relationship and you really are into this young man, even if you're married, you're into your husband, etc., do not send, post, think about sending, think about posting. Do not let it even cross your mind one iota, anything that is any resemblance to nude, because it will get out.
Mm-hmm.
It will. And with AI is going to start controlling things. It's going to go. There's a company that I am a major part of called The Bizio. The Bizio is the only black-owned cloud on the face of this earth. They just finished their AI and it's really AI generative enterprise.
How do you spell The Bizio?
BIZIO. But they can just call Primetime Global. They can contact me at contact@primetimeglobal.ae. Because Primetime Global, we have all of the information.
Is this the learn from industry experts?
It's bigger than that.
Was it?
We haven't launched it in that way yet. Gail King.
There's no website at the moment.
No, by design. Gail King.
Oh, trick. You're just teasing us.
Gail King came to the launch. You know who Tiffany Haddish is? Mm-mm. Tiffany Haddish right now is the number one comedian in the world.
Tiffany Ash.
Haddish.
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 That's a big...
Number one comedian, bar none, female in the world. She put in about $2.5 million. We raised some family and friends money. Gail King came to the launch at Richard Branson's Virgin Hotel. And we launched it among some thought leaders, because we wanted their opinion. And it was, people were fascinated. Mm-hmm. And what he did, this is a guy who worked with BlackRock in their back room for over 12 years. And then he came out and created this. And then he has the support of the guy that used to work in the back room for Microsoft. And then he went around the world and he hired 60 tech titans. I call them attack, 60 tech assassins. That's what I call them. And they put together the most incredible platform ever. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Oh, my nose is...
Is it the air conditioning?
Yeah, it's the air conditioner. Because coming from super mink coats and degrees, and now I'm sitting in air conditioning, everything dribbles.
Well, I've forgotten what it's like to be cold. I haven't been to a cold country for a long time.
I was in the bank today, and the cashier had a heater. I was like, what are you doing with a heater? She said, because it's air conditioning. Like, she had a heater. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Right. But anyway, so it's going to launch the beginning of January, and then they're going to open it up for more investors, but it's going to be incredible. It's going to take the world by storm. They're already doing, I think it's Ghana and is it Sierra Leone, a couple of their stock exchanges. They already have 3.5 million through 10,000 healthcare workers signed up for it. I mean, it's just going to be incredible.
What is it going to do?
It's an AI generative enterprise. It's going to do everything that Google, Microsoft, QuickBooks, Noya, Boardroom, all in one. It's a one-stop shop. It's one license and multiple applications.
So it's like Chat GPT that can just do everything.
And my other associate, we have a bot, and our bot, which we will be announcing for Dubai, uses AI for investments. Mm-hmm. And so, like the first 2 weeks, someone got like 28.4%. These are actual numbers. The first 30 days, they got 50%. Return on the investment. The first 3 months, they got 102% return on the investment, but it's all AI. Yeah. It's not a human being telling you what to invest in. It's all AI. So I'll be launching that through Primetime Global also.
And for people who don't know Primetime Global, that's your company.
Yes. PrimetimeGlobal.ae is my company. And you can contact me at contact@PrimetimeGlobal.ae. I love your podcast. I love the way you do it. I love the questions you ask. I love the view that I'm sitting up here. Guys, you should be in this room. Drop dead view.
I'm naturally just a very curious person. And when you came on, like I couldn't find a huge amount about you, but I knew you were a somebody.
Yeah.
So I just naturally wanted to...
Well, I think we should share to them that I took a lot down because I was getting inundated with requests. And my office, we do a lot. We run three global businesses. And I just... now I'm back, but I didn't want people to find me for a while.
Yeah, you used to do a lot of mentoring.
Mentored 100 and today I was counting because I thought it was 102. It was 108 young people. And I got so good at mentoring Harvard University. I was keynote speaker to Harvard University Women in Business 2 years in a row. But they brought an entire class down to visit my office. And then, of course, I had a very ample home at the time. So I had them all come to my home and et cetera. But after that, I was like, I can't keep mentoring.
It's
time consuming.
It's draining as well.
And I took it very seriously. So now I have about 9 people that I refused to mentor that I mentor. They just won't accept no for an answer.
What are these people, what are they coming to you for? Like how is it that you are helping them?
Well, actually I'm a life coach. Mm-hmm. I'm a certified psychologist. I am a businesswoman with a proven track record in epic experiences, epic events in economic development, business development, in tourism and travel. So a lot of people want to start businesses of that nature. I got a call today. my niece, I'm going to have to mentor her. But she's like, Mimi, I'm bored with the business I'm doing. Her husband passed away and left her very comfortable. She has two kids, but the last one's going to school this year. And she says, I want to do a business. I said, what do you want to do? I don't know what I want to do. I said, okay, think of something that you can think of a solution for in your everyday life, because those make the best businesses. Yeah. Because she already owns the businesses her husband left her. She doesn't want to run them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has there been loads of times where you've just had to say to them, this is a terrible idea?
Oh, I do that.
Yeah.
I'm very direct. So either you love me or you don't. Mm-hmm. But I'm also very direct as a life coach. Some people come to me as a life coach with their personal life. You know, I'm not a, what you call, matchmaker or anything. Mm-hmm. But if you want the real deal and you wanted me to shoot straight and to tell you how to get that man, I can do that.
Mm-hmm. So you help people with their relationships as well.
With business or their personal relationships. I really love helping CEOs how to navigate and to help elevate their relationships through their company with human resources and employee resources
like
that they use. Like HR, but separately and privately. I sit in meetings and observe.
They could come to you and just unload.
Yeah, and I give them recommendations also. If they have specific goals in mind, specific things they want to do, if they're experiencing certain HR problems with certain executives, I give them advice on how to handle that. If they have started a new division and they're looking for ways to launch that or within the company, just whatever they need.
Mm-hmm. You're quite big on diversity and inclusion as well.
Huge on diversity, inclusion, and equity. Mm-hmm. Huge on it being authentic and natural and organic. I don't want it to stand out to the side because that's just a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want it to be integrated into every single aspect of what you do and how you think. And that's what increases the revenue of a company. Yeah, I've been involved. I'll just say an automobile company that brought me in to do that. And their first quarter, their sales increased 35% through many parallel ways from branding to public relations to doing, I think we did 3 epic events, and through community outreach and affinity groups and databases.
Mm-hmm.
So the total impact was 35%, which is unprecedented.
Yeah. Do you think it could get to a point that you can sometimes maybe be too diverse and too inclusive that it actually harms the business?
Yes.
So say, for example, with the Bud Light, when they, I don't think they sponsored this transgender person, but they did something where they that transgender person started talking about the Bud Light, and anyway, that video went viral. The people who loved Bud Light and drank Bud Light hated it, and their sales have tanked massively ever since that has happened.
Well, there's a big box store company who did a whole section for trans and whatever.
I think Disney have been doing something similar as well, where they've been destroying.
Well, here's the thing. You have to be diverse, you have to be inclusive, and you have to understand equity. But it works both ways. They can't push their agenda on you and down your throat and say, no, that's not acceptable. It's only politically correct if you overemphasize who we are as trans. It works both ways. And that goes back to kindness and being tolerable. It goes back to that. So the answer is yes. It can impact in a negative way if it's not balanced. It has to work both ways.
And you think it's going back to where it was before? Like, what direction are we going in?
What do you mean?
Like, the balance. Like, now I feel like we're a little bit out of balance and we're just too far on the woke side.
Yeah, I think we have to go back and balance it.
Mm.
Do I think we're doing that? I think we're edging back to that. But it also is basic human kindness. I can't stress that enough. Mm-hmm. Basic human understanding, basic human tolerance. But don't come at me just because I'm a female who's hetero and I don't live your lifestyle. Don't come at me trying to shove your lifestyle down my throat. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work.
But I don't know what the solution is, though. Like, how can you make people more kind?
You can't make people more kind. That's an oxymoron. You can't make people more kind. What you have to do is you have to say, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be the example, you know, and then hopefully it will be like a contagious enthusiasm that captures, you know, like Dubai is clean. It is the cleanest city in the world. Mm-hmm. Why is it so clean? Would you walk out on the street and drink your soda and throw it down?
No.
Or eat a wrapper and throw it down? No. It happens every day in New York because it has become the trend of the general populace. In Dubai, the trend here is to be neat, to be clean, to be, they call it city livability.
It's illegal to be homeless as well here.
Perfect. And guess what? There's no need to be anywhere in the world. There's enough food. There's enough shelter. There's enough money. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. You're very on point.
I haven't been to America for a couple of years now. I'm planning to go next year.
America's changed.
I've heard.
It's changed.
Mm. I think I went to LA in 2018. That was the last time I was there. And I imagine, I think after COVID, apparently it just got really bad. And there's homeless people everywhere. In San Francisco, LA, in particular.
A lot more in San Francisco, but they're everywhere, mm-hmm. to answer your question. But there is no need for that to happen. We have enough people with money, enough people that can provide housing. We have enough housing provided. We have enough. It's all about educating in the educational system. And hopefully we will return to that with our new presidential election, to an America that we can all be so very proud of. I love my country. Mm. Love it. But we're going through changes, and the COVID impact did not help.
Mm-hmm. But do you think you'll continue to live there between there and Dubai?
No, I'm moving between America and Dubai. I'm moving to Dubai, and I hope to eventually be a dual citizen of both. I love America.
How you do that? It's so difficult to become a citizen.
I love America. I'm manifesting. Hello, His Royal Highness. But I love America, but I also love Dubai. I love the people of Dubai. I have a great foundation here for my mm-hmm. business and great opportunities for the UAE globally. Yes, I will be going back and forth, mm-hmm. but I do a lot of important, impactful things with for very powerful causes and powerful people. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to keep doing that.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the basics of branding? Because I know you're big on that. You know how to help people to build a strong brand.
ACE. Analyze, communicate, and execute.
Elaborate what that means.
Everybody says, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I need to brand this. So I have, you know, first you have to analyze, what do you have? Mm-hmm. You know, do you really have a brand, or do you have a product? Do you really have a database, or do you have some people who know about you and you post? Do you really have the right person doing your creative material? Do you really have a business formula or system in place to scale? What do you have? You have to analyze it, mm-hmm. and to know what you have. And then you design a communications plan around what you have. And also it has to be based on what you can afford to do. You asked me when we started out about, when do you know it's the right time to hire a PR person? There are levels of PR people. The right time to hire a PR person is really immediate, but depending on the level. And communication is key in whatever you do. I have people that I did business with over 30 years ago who come and find me to do something new in their life. It's all about communication and relationships. And it's all about the trust with that communication. And we live in an era of AI. We live in an era of social media. There is no excuse not to be able to communicate, because even if you don't know how to write, chat AI.
Yeah.
If you don't know what to say, chat AI. If you don't know, what someone's title is, what they their passion is, how they treat their family, social media. If you don't know how huge a company is, what its valuation is, what its vision is, look at their annual report. Everything's at the tip of your finger. Everything. Mm-hmm. Communication is key. So that's your AC. And then you have your E, your execution. And I love the way Dubai does it. Shut up. Don't talk about it. Analyze, plan it, create the business formula, create the communication. Then, only then, when you peek your head above water, do you execute. Because by that time, you're so foregone. It's so good. It's so unique. It's so powerful. No one can catch up with you and no one can touch you. And that's why I'm bringing Global Titans to Dubai. It's going to be incredible.
Do you think that Saudi could overtake Dubai? Like, do you think they could, they've been observing what Dubai has done?
Are you serious and you want me to answer this question?
Yes, please.
Being a global businesswoman, are you serious?
Yes, please.
Do you ask the question? Ask it the way you want to answer.
No, I think it is going to take over.
In this world, there's always an opportunity to take over first. It depends on the mentality of the people who got there first, the hungriness that they want to keep it, and the access to the innovation to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that criteria, the decision is yet to be made.
Mm. Even I'm thinking myself, I want to be one of the people that gets in there early.
Gets in where?
In Saudi.
Well, then go.
Yeah.
If you want to get in there early, the time to go is now.
Yeah. But I feel like it won't be maybe until another 4 or 5 years.
No. I've been reading their iSmart technology city.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to realize Dubai wasn't here overnight. No. You know, I did the opening of Dubai Atlantis with Saul Kirshner and Jerry and Zarilla.
Which Atlantis? The
Dubai Atlantis.
The first one.
Yeah, the first one. And from being here then and being here now, it's a world of difference. And the growth pattern is so huge. But the royal family has such a magnificent eye for uniqueness, for talent, for technology, for innovation, for creativity, for vision. You got to run something to catch up with them. Mm-hmm. This now is the entertainment capital of the world. It's the most powerful, one of the top 10 most powerful cities in the world. And matter of fact, I looked it up and I think today and they were saying it's number 7 or 8. To me, it's number 1. I'm sorry. I looked it up today and they were saying it's number 7 or 8. And to me, it's number 1. This, to me, is where everyone who wants to launch anything that is futuristic comes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Abu Dhabi is more than 1% laid back. We're going to keep it
it's trying to be the discreet. Financial hub.
We're going to keep it proper, ultra-conservative, financially, the place to come for a high-level thinkers of finance. Here it's thought leaders, as well as finance and technology and entertainment and you know, and music and film and et cetera. There's some special things which I can't share with you that I've already been in meetings about that's coming to Dubai that no one will be able to touch because it's only one IP in the world. And it's going to be here.
I guess I made a good decision moving here.
Yes.
Have you analyzed what I do and my brand?
I did my homework.
What do you think?
Oh, you want a free consultation?
Yeah, I
want
okay. I want to get absolutely grilled right now.
I'll just give you a general a capsule summary of what I think. By the way, you're single.
I'm technically,
you have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
You're engaged.
No.
You're single. Okay. I love this, ladies. He hesitated, which means he's committed. So a ring's coming. Okay. So
okay.
No, that changes your brand. Yeah.
See, this is so interesting because
wait a minute. Ace, analyze. To give you the proper advice, I couldn't do it at this table because I've got to do a lot more homework. But I can tell you from my first introduction to you to the introduction to the ambience that you have put us in for futuristic technology and seeking inner peace and happiness and elevated education, this is the spot that you need to be in. I think from looking at some of your, I viewed a couple of your past podcasts. I think with each podcast and with each guest, you are elevating your game, which is great.
Yeah.
The most important thing that's going to be for you is to grow your audience. And I think it will grow organically because when I leave here, and you didn't even know this, the podcast that I haven't even launched yet has 14 million viewers already because I'm on FUBU Radio. So I will take...
This is your podcast?
Mine.
Okay.
But I haven't even launched it. But I'll take a segment of yours. And because you've had me here as a gracious host, why wouldn't I put it on there and let those 14 million viewers see you and go find you on social media? So you will keep building and building and building and building.
That's the plan.
That's the plan.
I'm interested in what you said about how being in a relationship and being single can affect your brand.
Well, because you have to be realistic. There's a reason a lot of rappers don't want to be associated with one woman. Because it gives women who happen to be their audience, who happen to be their consumers, hope that one day he'll run into me. You know? And he's probably happily married with a wife at home.
It's so, you know? It's so true.
I mean, look at... One of my favorite people is Snoop Dogg. What he's done with his brand, what he's done with his brand and being able to level up his brand with advertisers, with commercialization, with Martha Stewart of all people and Snoop Dogg, to expand his music. His grandmother wanted him to do a gospel album, you know? So he went from B's and H's to gospel. I mean, that's how you expand a brand. And he has the loveliest wife and kids in the world. I actually met him at Oprah's house. I can't even remember what it was. Snoop, I think it was Snoop Legends Weekend or something.
Snoop has a wife.
Yes. He has a wife that he's been happily married to.
Is that,
Google it.
Is that common knowledge?
I don't know, but I know.
Interesting.
He doesn't keep it a secret, you know.
But he doesn't put it out.
But it does. It doesn't matter because she's so secure and so cool. You know, she helped him. You know, LL Cool J has a wonderful... Matter of fact, these earrings I'm wearing were gifts from LL Cool J's wife, Simone. She has a wonderful jewelry line and a wife and multiple kids for many years. So it's really the way they carry themselves. And they do all the, you know, the sexy stuff and the rapper beat and the music and et cetera. And then they go and take care of home. I love them. I respect them. I admire them. So, but when you're first starting out, like you. Everybody would want a piece of you because you're young, you're handsome, you're brilliant, you're intelligent, you have this podcast, etc. So, you know, of course, when you get married, that puts you in a different light.
Mm.
I'm single, ladies and gentlemen, but mostly gentlemen, all gentlemen. But I'm speaking to the gentleman, I'm single. But you also want someone who respects your business game, mm-hmm. and who allows you to be you, to go and do what you need to do to build your business.
It's been an issue, not necessarily with every single past partner I've had, but with some of them. They didn't like the fact that I would not put them on social media, that I wouldn't put them on my Instagram. And I'm like, this, me, my brand, it's a business, and it works better if the perception is that I am single. People want to see that. The moment that I start flashing all the relationship lovey-dovey stuff, people don't like that, and I can see it. Like, if I post a couple's picture, I lose thousands of followers.
Yes, because you give them hope that maybe one day they'll be with you. But here's the thing. Any partner that is insecure because of a picture post, you don't need them to be a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in a business, and you're in the business of building your business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm okay looking, and I travel the world. And I'm in my own right, I'm pretty powerful, you know? But when I get with the man that I want in my life forever, some characteristics of being a business mogul will change.
Mm.
Because I want them to. I simply want them to, you know? And I was married. My husband used to say, why aren't you jealous? I said, I will never be jealous of another woman in my life. She can be the youngest. She can be the cutest. She can have the best shape. She can be the most beautiful because you chose me. So jealousy is not something that I compute in my mind. And ladies, if you're out there and you have a man that you care about and he's into you and cares about you, there's no need to be jealous. He's always coming home.
Yeah.
Always.
What's your thoughts on marriage?
I would like to be married again,
mm-hmm.
But to the right person. And I'm very comfortable with whatever situation he wants to work. If he wants to keep his house and I have mine and we visit, that's fine. If he wants me to be a traditional wife and I give up part of traveling around the world, that's fine. It just depends on if he's the right man for me. I will acquiesce to support him in whatever way that he would like for me to, because that's the woman I am. I don't need a man to do that. I don't need a man for my business. I don't need a man to travel. I don't need a man for my lifestyle.
Mm.
But I would choose to do what would make my husband happy. That's just who I am.
Have you got kids?
None.
Oh, do you want kids?
At this point, I want him to have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I mean, if you had kids, your lifestyle would
be very different. Most men that I meet at this stage of the game have kids who, by other people, and I'm totally accepting of that. You know, mm-hmm. I love kids. I love kids. And there's not a jealous bone in my body for kids, for ex-wives. You know, my ex-husband used to tell me something's wrong with me because there's no jealousy. There's only one me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the baddest thing walking. You got me, you got it.
I've never been a jealous person either.
Yeah.
I'm very, I don't know, because I'm very secure.
Yes.
And I feel like if you are going to cheat on me and be with someone else, then, well, that's your decision.
Absolutely.
Goodbye.
Absolutely. But I, as you know, I know a lot of icons and a lot of celebrities in the world. And I won't call any names, but just think of the 10 most beautiful women that you know in the world. And I probably personally know six of them. Out of those six, five of them are so insecure until it's ridiculous.
Hmm. Well, do they not even think that they're pretty? Or do they have no trust in their partner, ever?
It's not trust in their partner. It's belief in themselves. You have to believe in yourself.
But they must have...
You have to be secure with yourself. It's not about the outside influence. It's about you. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from my parents. You know, I grew up, my nickname was the chosen one. So there was nothing that I thought that I couldn't do. There was nothing that I thought that I couldn't become. There's no one that I think can be prettier than me, better than me, even though physically they may be. Mm-hmm. But for the right man to choose me, I will be his all and he will be mine.
You mentioned there's women who are insecure, but surely they must have had some or a lot of self-belief to get to the point where they're at. It doesn't make sense how this.
Well, they do a front. Mm-hmm. They do a front of visage of self-belief and, oh, I'm secure and et cetera. I have people around me now that say that. I have relatives who say, you know, oh, yeah, I'm secure. I'm secure, mm-hmm. you know. But then they make decisions with men. They make decisions with work. They make decisions in their life that scream, I'm insecure. You know, they go back and get old relationships because that's the one that they pinpointed that they want. Mm-hmm. Or they make a decision to stay at one job for 20 years, you know, and when that job is just milking them and they have so much more value than that. If you don't value yourself, who's going to value you?
Yeah.
Really? You have to value yourself.
I think that's something which
I need to do a TED talk on this, but go on.
You should do.
Yeah, I should. Everybody tells
me
I should.
I'm sure if anyone's going to make it happen, you can make it happen.
Yeah, I'm very busy, but I should, yes.
What would you talk about?
I think I call it That's Life, and I talk about different elements of life, whether it's business, whether it's personal, whether it's family, whether it's peers, whether it's outreach, whether it's the next steps and how you go to the next step and you elevate your own life.
You know, I think the art is being able to balance everything.
Yes.
That's the hardest thing.
Well, you can't always balance everything.
There's just certain
sometimes
things.
Sometimes it's going to be imbalanced, but you can bring it back into balance, but then it'll sway the other way. The art of life is to be conscious enough to know that you need to keep trying to balance it. Mm-hmm. That's all.
I think particularly if you're starting a new venture or a new business, you have to just face the fact that things are going to be very imbalanced for a while, and the business and career part of your life is going to be taking up the majority.
Well, that's why you have to have a support team around you for that also. And I have a saying, I am perfectly imperfect because the scale goes and I have to weigh what's going on. And I have devastating things happen in my life. I lost my only brother. And in the middle of losing my only brother, I was doing Festival de Cannes' first diversity event. So how much time do I have downtime to lay in the sadness?
Yeah.
Or do I need to say, okay, let me compartmentalize. I really need time to be down. I really need time to allow myself to go through the sadness of it all and the misery of not having my best friend and only brother in my life. So I need to put this in this compartment. And now I have these other three compartments I have to do. Immediately, I have an epic global event that everyone's counting on me to do that's never even been done before. Then I have this new business that I've launched that is only me and my executive team of four people, you know? So you compartmentalize things. And then when you get these at a balance, these two, you go back and you say, okay, now I'm going to take this week and just drown in my sorrows and go in my shower and just cry. 10 minutes, just cry and scream. Come out, go to dinner. Close a $1 million deal. There you go. That's balance. Everyone has their ups and downs, and so do I. It's how you handle it.
Mm. I feel like I've got a good grasp of it, but I always wonder if in 10 years' time I'll look back at my current self and just think, oh, you thought you knew it all, but you really didn't.
Oh, you definitely will.
Mm.
I'm still learning every day. If I knew what I know now when I was 20, 30, please, Scott. And you learn from mistakes. I've made so many mistakes in my life, but I've grown from them. And I've really leveled up from them. So, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's, the mistake is just an opportunity to go in another direction and to do it even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. We beat up ourselves every day. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I do that? Why did I talk too much and give them my idea and they're going along with it and they're not including me? Why did I introduce that person to that person because he's not a good person? You know, stop beating yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
And life, be in it. You know what I mean by life, be in it? Life, be present.
Mm.
Be present every single day.
Have you always been like that? Present?
No. In the last 2 decades, I have become very aware of being present every single day.
How have you managed to do that? Like, was there a time where you thought...
5 minutes in the morning? Let me ask you something. When are you ever just still? No thoughts, no planning, no personal relationships, no having dinner, just close your eyes and blank. It's just still.
I think when I have a massage.
Okay.
That's the only time. There's no phone, there's no distraction. I'm just there. Just.
But someone's touching your body.
So that's not, doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count. I'm talking about you alone, just you. Try it. So, try it every day for, you don't have to do it for long. Try it every day for 2 minutes. I do it for 5 minutes. Try it every day for 2 minutes.
Very quickly, guys, I just want to ask you a quick question. Are you taking supplements? And if you are, do you have any idea if you're taking the right supplements in the right amounts? You see, the more that I discovered about the importance of micronutrient supplementation and the adverse health effects of micronutrient deficiencies, I would constantly ask myself the same thing. I would go into supplement stores, load up on bottles of micronutrients and pop pills daily without really knowing if they were doing me any good or not. That's when I decided to try out Bionic. Since 2021, I've been getting my blood work done with them every 3 to 4 months. And once the blood test has been analyzed, they would put together a customized micronutrient formula tailored specifically for me. And this would last me for 3 to 4 months until I got my blood work done again. And since then, I've honestly never looked back. If you are also serious about performing at your best, preventing development of diseases and maximizing your overall health and well-being, I highly recommend you give it a try. And they've recently introduced Bionic Go, which is a fraction of the price, where all you need to do is just fill in a questionnaire online without the need of a blood test. If you want to find out more or give them a try, head over to bionic.com, and you can use my exclusive referral code BQMikeThurston for a discount on your first order. Let's get back to the episode. So, but it's not meditation. It's just...
No, I'm not thinking of a word. I'm not thinking of this. I'm not... No, I'm just... being still. And then I come up and I be present in the moment all day long.
Do you like being by yourself?
Yes. And I also like having zillions of people around me. Yes.
I know some people who are, they literally just cannot stand the idea of being by themselves.
They can't stand it?
No. And I'm like, how can you not be alone with your own thoughts? Maybe because they have to face their demons. And they don't like that.
But facing your demons trains you to control the demons.
Mm-hmm.
We all have demons. Facing your demons, you know, as nice and kind as I want to be, sometimes I'm a little judgmental, but I catch myself. Sometimes I'm a little biased, but I catch myself. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
We all do. Absolutely, we do.
Yeah. Even I will, if I see someone or something, I will assume, but then I try not to believe in it because I might be wrong. And many times I have been wrong.
Well, and I also look at, when I say be kind, I look at situations. Well, I was coming out of a restaurant one night, and I was with an entourage of people, and there was a dirty homeless man on the side. You could smell him when you walked by it. And it was in New York, and the restaurant was 5-star. And I had an extra meal because sometimes I get an extra meal because sometimes I don't cook and I'll take it home and it'll be my meal for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him and I went over to him and I said, would you like this? You know what he asked me? He said, did you touch it? And you know what I said to him? I said, no, sir, I didn't touch it. I said, I wouldn't offer you a meal that I've eaten on. I didn't touch it. I said, please, please take. I asked him, I said, please take it. And he took it. And the people in my group were like, he has a nerve, you know. And so my lesson to them was, what did it take for me to allow him to have his dignity and to be kind for 2 seconds? It took nothing. So he gave me for that moment, for that evening. I'm sorry, I'm going to cry. He gave me such a great feeling of love and accomplishment and the world's going to get better. He gave it to me. I didn't give it to him. He gave me a gift. That dirty, smelly, nasty, he had dreads. He gave me a gift.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
What advice would you have to people who are feeling, I don't know, just lost? They don't really know what direction they should go in. They don't know what they're passionate about. What would you say to them?
I have friends. One is very wealthy. She has a lot of wealth. She is now 50 years old on her birthday. She has been finding herself for 50 years. Degrees from Ivy League school, the best of the best everywhere she went. She goes on this religious retreat, this yoga thing, this thing. She's still finding herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's 52 years old. Half her life, what's life expectancy now? 79? Half her life, over half her life is gone. At some point, you have to do something very simple. Sit down with yourself, by yourself. Take a yellow piece of legal paper. Write down, these are the things I'm passionate about. These are the things I hate. These are the things I can tolerate. Cut it off. The things you're passionate about, take a day and do one of them each. The one that brings you the most joy, go back to that one. Is that a business I can do? Is that something I need to educate myself on more? Is that something that I can go visit another country and learn more about? Whatever that one thing is, pursue that one thing.
Mm.
And then after you do that, pursue the next thing and the next thing. Because if not, you're going to be that 52-year-old woman still trying to find herself, going on retreats. That's what she calls them, retreats. And she adopted kids. She has kids.
Mm.
But she's on retreats.
It's funny because I think when I finished school, I was 18, went to university, finished that when I was 20. And the moment I started pursuing a career in fitness, that was when I knew, okay, this is the thing I'm supposed to do. That was the thing I was most passionate about. Mm-hmm. I was also very passionate about music. I think in another life, I probably would have done something with the music.
If you had to say what you do now, beyond the podcast, because you've left fitness.
The podcast is still, it's a segment of the thing which I'm doing at the moment. It started off as, honestly, I did this because it was, first of all, it was a challenge because it was just doing something new. I don't consider myself to be a host or a podcaster, but I thought, hey, let me give it a try. It was an opportunity for me to network with people to build the brand, improve the brand. Mm-hmm. So I don't want people to see me as Mike the Fitness Guy. I want people to know there's more to me.
So
than
what
that.
Do you want people to see you as? By the way, you're not a podcast host. You're a conversationalist.
Yeah.
So don't put yourself in the box.
That's what Joe Rogan says. He says he doesn't interview people. He has conversations with people.
You know why Larry King was Larry King?
Why?
Because if you asked anyone that he ever interviewed, it was like sitting in his living room. Mm-hmm. He made them feel so comfortable. Because Larry King had the unique ability to bring your life into his life. Mm-hmm.
So I that's the thing. I'm at a point now where I've done a lot of the hard work. I've built a bit of a following. I have a brand. And I'm in a great position where ultimately I'm at a crossroads where I could go in any direction I would choose to follow. But I'm at a point where I'm trying to decide what that thing is.
But what are the top three things?
The thing I will always be passionate about will be, it'll be fitness. The fitness is for me. Like I was going to the gym and was passionate about that before social media. So I'm not getting myself in shape for the videos or the pictures. The first 3 years that I was in the gym, there was not a single photo of me in the gym. I was just doing it because I love it. And it's something I'm always going to do long into the future until I can't lift weights anymore. If I can monetize that, then that's great. And that's something which I've been able to do. But being in shape and doing the fitness thing has allowed me to open so many different doors and go through them. And the YouTube thing, that started off as making fitness videos, giving nutrition advice, then kind of moved away to doing vlogging and traveling, collaborations, and I can talk about anything now, do anything now.
Okay.
Now I feel like I'm moving more towards the business side of things.
What type of business?
Maybe education, helping people, coaching people.
Oh,
looking into investing into companies. Because before I was the influencer. I'm trying to move away from being an influencer to being a businessman. That's what I'm becoming more passionate about now.
Well, you can do both.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because as I get older and as I mature, the type of content which I make, you have to kind of evolve from that. The things which I was doing when I was 26, 27, I can't do those things anymore. I'm getting old.
Well, here's the thing. With this and with your background and with your passion, you can cover any of the topics you just said. I think you can also, it would be pretty much fun to say, okay, I'm going to take 30 days out of a year and I'm going to travel to 7 different resorts, mm-hmm. and I'm going to do a travel blog about that. I'm going to take another 2 months out of the year. I'm going to go to the World Economic Summit or et cetera, and I'm going to focus on, for the next 90 days, in giving business advice on specific businesses or specific opportunities that can help you generate more revenue within your business, investment opportunities, real estate opportunities, et cetera. Then you can take another month and say, okay, I'm going to do a boot camp for fitness, and just pick the top most unhealthy people in the world and show the transition. You can do, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
But you just have to organize the formula that you want to use in business to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to, particularly if you've been around for a long time, like you'll probably notice this with artists. It's very rare for artists or rappers to remain relevant for such a long period of time. Usually they peak and then whatever happens, they just are no longer popular anymore. And they just
Did you see Andre 3000's interview?
Talking about the flute album.
Yes. And everybody is criticizing him. And I just think it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because
he's doing what he really cares about.
What he really cares about. But also it's brought him to a new level of creativity for his music. And you never know what he's going to do in the future. He might do another rap album. He might bring, I mean, he might start doing literally art, or you never know. So I just think people limit themselves. There are no limitations on life. You don't need to limit yourself with everything that, and when we first sat down, remember I said, I hate when people ask me what I do. Mm-hmm. And you said, it's probably because you do several things well. And you also don't want people to think that you are a jack of all trades and a master of none. You want them to know that you do several things well. So that's the challenge with people like us, because you have a passion and you have a proven track record to do several things well. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to open a gym, that's a no-brainer. You know, you want to do your travel blog, that's a no-brainer. So I think what we have to do is stop limiting ourselves. We have to prioritize always and take, I always do I call it a trifactor. I prioritize three things at a time. And then when I get those three done, I go to three other things. I get those three done, so I go to three other things. That's what you have to do. But never limit yourself. Mm. Life is limitless, so you don't need to do that.
I think it's really interesting, though, because I know there's some people who are doing the whole fitness thing, but because they've been labeled as just a fitness guy or a fitness influencer, they feel as though, oh, well, that's what I do, I guess. So that's what I'm going to carry on doing.
Yes.
When they could have potentially done a few other things, but because they've been told by other people, like, oh, no, this is what you do, you're the fitness person. You know, I faced that certain times when I've tried to do different things. I've had people say, like, oh, but this isn't really what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I decide what it is that I want to do. And I'm fairly confident that whatever I choose to do, if I am genuinely passionate about it and I go all in, I'll be very good at it. But it's just a matter of deciding, like I said, okay, so what are those things which I really want to go all in at? Because I've been in a situation before where I honestly have been trying to do too many things. And when I try and do too many things...
That's called youth.
Yeah. The things which I was good at and which were working for me, I actually started to neglect them a little bit, and they started to go downhill because I was trying to do all these other things.
Because they weren't challenging enough. Mm. You were set on making sure that the other things worked out too.
Yeah. I think I get bored quite easily as well.
Yeah.
If I do too much.
But that's why you got to prioritize. Pick three, then three more, then three more.
Mm.
Three is the lucky number. The trifactor is a lucky number. Mm. I have friends that are from all walks of life, all socioeconomic levels. You know, my clients have been high net worth to CEOs, you know, billionaires, you know, across the board presidents. Everybody has been a client of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do, and everybody, you asked me about my book. I started writing a book during COVID, and it will be finished by the end of next year, because I always get distracted because a huge opportunity. I'm still living my life. Mm-hmm. But my point is that everyone that I've met, I take a little something from them. I learn a little something from them that helps me on my journey of life to make my decisions on the next step I want to take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to be, you asked me about marriage, to be married. But until that day comes, I am giving my all to my clients, to the success and the impact of changing the lives of people in the world. The things I do are so impactful. I feel those are my babies. I'm contributing to this planet.
Yeah.
So that helps me to be very happy.
Because ultimately a relationship and a marriage, that is going to take, it requires time and effort to allow that relationship to flourish.
Oh, it certainly does. But also you have to make the right selection. If you select the right mate, it requires time, but it's not overly sensitized with time.
Mm.
They understand, oh, honey, you're going away to do this for 3 days, 5 days, whatever. I'll see you when you get back, et cetera. And I think that when you have that kind of foundation for support, sky's the limit too. You can really soar.
Yeah.
Because you know the home base is taken care of.
Yeah. I think I'm not the easiest person to be in a relationship with.
Why is that?
Just because of my lifestyle, what I do. I'm not the type of person that I don't go out to clubs or anything like that, but social media.
You just told me when I came in, you don't go out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you think that would be difficult for someone to deal with? The only thing that would be difficult if you weren't flexible enough, if she liked going out, you let her go by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Go, you know, one night a week or whatever. If she wants you to go with her one night a week, then you acquiesce and you do that. It's called flexibility. So I wouldn't say you're difficult. I would say you need to be more flexible.
But maybe it's the attention.
Yeah. Yes. I get
quite a lot of attention. And
when you go out?
Everywhere.
Well, whoever you chose will too.
Yeah. Well, it's true. So I'm like, stop complaining. You get it as well.
Yes. And it's okay.
Yeah.
That's why you have to choose the right person, because it's the right balance. I unfortunately in my past did not choose the right person because they couldn't deal with my popularity. They couldn't deal with me working, doing iconic events around the world. So you have to choose the right person. They were very jealous.
Because of the attention you were getting, or because they were doing, because you were doing better than them in business?
A little bit of both.
Mm.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter about the business as much. I'm always going to get attention because I don't try to get attention. I get attention just because I love people and I love life.
Well, you give off a good vibe, the way you dress, the way you speak to people.
Well,
like,
thank you.
Of course you can get a lot of attention. But
I don't try. Yeah. I'm not trying to get attention. I just love people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't meet strangers. I've never met a stranger in my life. There's not anyone that I won't go up and talk to, whether I know them or not. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're, unless security's got a thing in holding me back, it doesn't matter.
Is that a confidence thing?
It's parental tape that I'm the chosen one and the comfort zone.
So if you were one day to have children, would you raise them the same way?
Absolutely.
You tell them they're the chosen one?
Absolutely.
I guess it would work. But there's always the risk that it could backfire a little bit if they think, if they get too much praise.
No, here it is. It's a balance. It doesn't mean that you're arrogant, entitled.
Because I think one of the great things about my upbringing in Leeds was that I had a great group of friends, but we all used to make fun of each other in a playful way. But we used to roast each other. And I think that kept me quite humble, and I never took myself too seriously.
Well, listen, you're always going to be, if you really have real friends, they're always going to kid you and roast you and et cetera. I didn't mean leave any of that out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with that going on, and if I were to take you home right now, oh my gosh, my family would, they would roast you to no end, no end. But the thing about it is you deal with it, you know, and you know it's people that care about you. So, but I don't mind any of that for my kid because it makes them stronger. What I will never teach my kid is to be entitled or arrogant.
Mm.
Because you miss so much when you're entitled and arrogant. You miss out on so much when you don't know when to be silent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can never learn. The person who has to take over the conversation and talk the whole time misses out on the knowledge that he can get from everyone else around the table. Or if you make a comment and immediately they're off and it's all about them, they miss out on so much.
Mm-hmm.
And life is such a quilt. It's such a fabric a plateau of so many fabrics that are embroidered together. And I've been fortunate to have walked with kings and queens and have met sheikhs and presidents and have shared lunches with janitors and receptionists and secretaries and have hung out in the park with strangers and just talking to them about their kids and their vision and their dreams, and to have met people from all across the world, from Africa to Australia to Canada to, you know, the UAE, Caribbean, Asia, because we all make up the world. And it's not so much, see, nowadays people are trying to make it not be a melting pot. This is yours, this is mine over here. That's your nationality, that's your race, that's your creed, that's your religion. People are trying so hard to make everything a problem. Mm. Everything
so true.
Is a challenge, you know, that we can only, we can't control them. We can only control ourselves. Mm-hmm. So my life be in it is about embracing life in the present and also being kind to everyone I meet, no matter how they treat me. I'm always going to be kind to them. I'm going to choose kindness. And then everything else is on them. And just think, if the majority of people chose kindness, wouldn't that be contagious enthusiasm?
The world would certainly be a better place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Out of all the people you've met, who's surprised you the most? As in, like, you had like an assumption about them, but they just shocked you and they ended up being the complete opposite of what you thought they would be.
I don't see it. This is going to sound really quirky, but no one's really surprised me because I read people extremely well. Oprah's a huge star, but she is what you see. Her kindness, her heart, but she's a no-nonsense person. She's not a pleaser. Mm-hmm. She's going to tell you what she thinks, when she thinks, and how she thinks it. But her heart is so wonderful and pure, and she's a fantastic, intelligent, elevated human being. Larry King, who I lived at his house in his guest house with for a year, is just who you saw. Larry King from the Bronx, from around the corner, who would go to Nate Now's for a bagel, mm-hmm. you know, who walked down the street and everybody, Larry King, hey, how you doing? But Larry was just Larry. He was just a round-the-way guy who happened to interview everyone who was anyone on the face of the earth. And living in his house was such an honor, his guest house, an honor and privilege for a year. I'm trying to think of who I would say. I don't even know who I would say that surprised me.
You say you're a good judge of character. So how can you spot someone who is full of shit or is all talk but no action? They're just
for me nice. I think it's just an innate thing. I don't even think it's my psychology and psychiatric training. I think it's just an innate thing. I have that sense. Mm-hmm. And when they are talking too much about, see, some people talk about who they know because they really know them. Some people talk about what they do because they really can't do it. Mm-hmm. Some people are too interested in showing you an over flamboyant side because they have no substance. Mm-hmm. When someone walks into the room and they have on 50 labels, visible labels, I don't need to be bothered with them. They're very insecure. They really don't have any substance, and they have very limited knowledge of personal interactions. Mm-hmm. When someone walks into the room and they can have on labels, but they're not that visible, they're very subtle, and the conversation is about the person. I met with a company that's really major here. I don't know what today is. I think yesterday I met with them. I've had so many meetings. And the first 30 minutes of our conversation was about our personal life. His wife, his kids, you know, my family, you know, what I did growing up, you know, what he likes to do, educational opportunities for his kids. We didn't even talk about the business. That's a man who will, he's in the right position because he is capable of developing high level relationships that will be there 50 years from now.
Mm.
50 years from now, easily.
I've noticed the older that I get, the better I am at reading people. And I wish that I'd had that. You know, they say trust your gut instinct. But I feel like when you're in your teens and early 20s, your gut instinct doesn't really know anything. Like you develop
no,
your...
No, they aren't. They don't. But also people reveal themselves. They show you who they are. Little things and little conversations or little activities, people show you who they are. But you just have to believe it.
Mm.
Sometimes we don't... Oh, I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to do this. But sometimes we don't believe it. We'll say, oh, no. That was just one incident. We will push it to the side. Oh, no, I really don't want to think this about him. But you know deep down in your heart, when they show you who they are, you have to believe them.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things, I get a lot of opportunities that come my way, particularly when it comes to business. And especially with in the past, I've gone into business with people and it's ended up being just an absolute disaster. And that's something which I'm so careful about now. If I'm choosing to collaborate or do something with anyone, they really have to be somebody that I trust and I believe in.
And also what you want to do is, I've ran huge businesses, and because of the brand that I already am, I have to be very careful who I align myself with. You want to test them out. Give it a test run before you're in a permanent business with anyone. Give it a 90-day trial. Let's see what we can do on this launch together. And then see how they plan, coordinate, collaborate, how they engage you in activity for those 90 days before you sign on the dotted line.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I learned to do that. I didn't do it at a younger age. I learned to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy because they will reveal themselves.
With Primetime, is that all you?
Windsor Primetime is all me 100%. Primetime Global, I have two other partners. It was three, but now it's two.
What's the difference between the two of them?
Windsor Primetime I've had forever, and it was mostly American-based, but we did things all over the world. Primetime Global is going to be Dubai-based, doing things all over the world, mm-hmm. and mostly focused on the UAE and, you know, the Middle East.
Do you have any other businesses or that it's...
I have a business that is an investment business, which pays exemplary returns to people who want to invest with me, guaranteed returns with real estate, because I have access to great properties, some of which are distressed properties, some of which are new properties. But the way that I've set up the portfolio that we've set up, I have two other partners, the portfolio, it offers people an opportunity to invest with a guaranteed return of X amount each quarter with a boost that we purposely underestimated the return,
yeah,
which is huge. And they like, you can do that. You're going to guarantee me that. But we know we can do double, triple the way we set it up. It's very unique. Matter of fact, it's so different. A man who did worked for the, I think the, I'm trying to remember, it was either the Rockefellers or one of those historical groups. He was one of our consultants on this. That's it. And he said he's never seen it done like this. And it is one of the best equity firms and business models he's ever seen in his life.
It's just property?
No, it's three areas. It's private equity, it's real estate, and it's Select Entertainment Projects. And then we also have a joint venture with a credit facility that's been operating for, I think, 11 years. And they do up to $25 million, but that's a bridge loan. Mm. But that's for not for startups. It's for companies that already have a cash flow. But my investment company is...
Sounds like you have a lot of tricks up your sleeve, which you can't reveal to everybody because it's a secret. Who do you decide who to collaborate with on that?
It was by accident. I was already working on some financial instruments and bonds and with Liechtenstein and Luxembourg with some people. And we just kind of fell in with each other. We trusted each other. Each of us had our own areas of expertise. Finance is not my area of expertise. And I hired the best of the best in attorneys. Greenberg Trowridge is one of our attorneys. The other entity that our legal entity is an entity called Goodwin Proctor. Because it left my mind. Goodwin Proctor. And I got the best of the best to create the documents. Mm-hmm. This it didn't just happen overnight. And I mean, literally, I had it reviewed by the best of the best. So you have it.
If people want to, how does it work? People want to invest. How do you choose who to work
with? We're very selective. We want accredited investors. We have an investment process. We have a company, Apex, which handles that process for us. We don't just, I mean, you can want to invest, but we don't necessarily want your money.
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? But it's true because we want long-term relationship. We want you to be happy and we want to be happy. And the way we've set it up, everybody's going to be happy. Mm. So, and if they're interested in that, they can just contact me at contact@primetimeglobal.ae. And one of my executive assistants will give them a private email to refer to. Mm-hmm.
So they're the three main things which you're working on at the moment and moving forward.
Yes, primetimeglobal.ae, Windsor Primetime, and Malka Equities. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And of course the book, which will come out.
Yes, I've got to get time to finish the book.
I honestly don't know how people write books. I don't even know where to begin.
Well,
I would like to do it one day, but...
Well, with technology, what you do is you just dictate an hour every day or 30 minutes while you're sitting here looking at this absolutely gorgeous view. You just dictate every day. One of the largest things that I'm going to be doing in a country, I don't know which country yet, they're going to have to talk to me about it, is Global Titans. And that Global Titan Honors is going to put the selected country on the map forever. And that's going to be an accelerated and elevated honoring of people in, I think it's 16 disciplines across the board, but it is the best of the best with the best host of each segment, the best philanthropists, the best in technology, the best in real estate. Everything is the best of the best. I'm very proud of that because I did it on a smaller scale for America and it was a huge success. I mean, and at that event, Wyclef and Patti LaBelle, they were my entertainment. I had billionaires come in, et cetera. And Dionne Warwick asked me the other day, when are you bringing that back? It was the best of the best. The CEO of three Fortune 500 companies said, can I be a part of it? I want to sponsor it. I want to be a part of it because it's going to be incredible, not only for the country, for the people, but also for the businesses of all sizes.
Is it going to be an annual event?
It's going to be, I was going to make it every 2 years, but we shall see because I think the demand's going to be annual.
Mm-hmm. Would you, I'm trying to compare that to something that exists.
There's nothing that exists. You can't compare it. Think of the Nobel Peace Prize, the Grammys, the Oscars, BAFTA, National Philanthropic Awards. Think of all of those rolled up into one. Mm-hmm. There you go. You got it.
Very cool.
But think of it very polished, very elevated, and also with an element that reaches down and brings up the starter companies. Yeah. So you got the best of the best with that element that's never been done before.
Very cool. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing the details.
Yes.
The little details of everything.
They will be released. They will probably not be released until March, mm-hmm. the details, because I'm just deciding which we're making country. Some decisions.
Yeah. Amazing.
Country and companies. Yes.
Awesome. Well, that's pretty much it. I'm going to wrap it up now. Thank you very much for that conversation.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm sorry about the no sniffle thing. That's coming from New York and in the mink coats and freezing weather and coming here and walking out and the air conditioning, it's caused my nose to start sniffling at night.
Is that where you're going back to tomorrow?
Yes. Tomorrow I fly back to New York, and then I was just invited to speak at Davos on the 15th for the World Economic Summit. And then I'll be back here in February.
Nice.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll meet up then.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. You were a gracious and wonderful host. But you're not a host. What are you?
I'm a conversationalist.
Yes. Thank you.
There you go.
I wanted you to correct me. Yes. Thank you.
Awesome.